dear hate. You were smiling from that Selma bridge in Dallas when that bullet hit and Jackie cried. You pulled those towers from the skies, but even on our darkest night, the world keeps spinning.
As a child growing up in the 1960s, I absorbed my culture's faith in progress. It helped that I was insulated from the tumultuous events of that decade. It never occurred to me that boys my age across the world in Vietnam or across the mountain in South Birmingham might view their futures with less optimism. What my parents explained to me as progress might have seemed to their parents as simply the exchange of one oppressor for another. 50 years of hindsight and historical inquiry have helped me understand that perspective. Progress is just another in the endless train of illusions that capture the imagination of mankind and lead us down the broad path to destruction. Whatever we begin, no matter how well-intentioned, securely financed, and meticulously planned, eventually crumbles to dust. The miracle cures seem at best merely to ease one form of suffering while opening the way for a myriad of unforeseen afflictions. The highly touted economic solutions never produce the promised era of plenty, but enrich the few while dividing ever smaller portions among a growing number of impoverished masses. All the while, our leaders promise peace and security if we adopt their program, only to realize that the program of the day is nothing more than a slogan engineered to distract us while they stave off inevitable disaster. Is there really such a thing as progress? I think not. All our technological wizardry hasn't really improved our lives. It's only enabled us to make the same mistakes our ancestors made faster and more efficiently. We cannot innovate our way out of the death spiral that has trapped us since that tragic day in the Garden of Eden. As Solomon says, there is nothing new under the sun. That's why I believe the globalists of this current era have one thing right. We need a great reset. That is, they have the concept right, but they missed the context. Their Great Reset means all wealth and power is concentrated in the hands of an elite who alone among humanity can determine right and wrong. Yet that is simply more fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's doomed to failure because it's nothing more than another band-aid over the cancerous sore of our collective consciousness. The only great reset that works is the one that begins with this premise. The earth is Adonai's, and all that fills it, the world and those dwelling on it. We and this earth were made perfectly, but in this fallen age of corruption, everything and everyone needs a reset. We should understand that from the testimony of our bodies. How long can we go without sleep, food, or water? These cycles tell us we need a reset every few hours. Or consider the things we make. How often do we need to change the oil in our cars? Or how many hours can an airplane fly before it requires another round of maintenance? Even our food has cycles, which is why we eat the leftovers from yesterday's dinner before they spoil. Nature itself is cyclical. The Creator based his first great covenant with mankind on those cycles. Then Noah built an altar to Adonai, and he took of every clean domestic animal and of every clean flying creature, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. When Adonai smelled the soothing aroma, Adonai said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, even though the inclination of the heart of humankind is evil from youth. Nor will I ever again smite all living creatures as I have done. While all the days of the land remain, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease." The seasons tell us the earth needs a reset just as much as we humans. That's why our Creator built Sabbath cycles into the fabric of time. It's more than just resting on the seventh day. It's getting in tune with the seasons of our Maker. We don't do that very well in this frenetic postmodern world, but no one ever has. Not even ancient Israel kept the Sabbaths. They were meticulous at times about honoring Sabbath to the letter of the law, and our Messiah took them to task because they made the day about their traditions rather than God's intentions. They, like we, tried to order creation to their own convenience rather than adapt themselves to the order of creation. That order is explained in Leviticus 25, the chapter about the Sabbath and Jubilee years. Every seventh year is a year of rest for the land and people of Israel. There's no sowing or reaping, but canceling of debts and release of indentured servants. After seven Sabbath years, the Jubilee is proclaimed at the start of the 50th year. The Jubilee is a special Sabbath year. Not only do the land and people rest for a second year in a row, but every property that's been sold is to revert to its original owner. Every remaining debt is canceled, and every Israelite slave goes free. In other words, God inserted into His Torah provision for a cyclical great reset. It's a divine reminder that we are sojourners on this earth, and that the real owner is the Creator. No one is to amass so much wealth and land that he or she can say, "I have enough, I provide my own peace and security." Our Messiah has harsh words about such a person. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the material goods he possesses." And Yeshua told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man produced good crops. And he began thinking to himself, saying, 'What shall I do? I don't have a place to store my harvest.' And he said, 'Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, "Oh, my soul, you have plenty of goods saved up for many years, so take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, tonight your soul is being demanded back from you, and what you have prepared, whose will that be?" So it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich in God. This is the kind of fool who says in his heart, "There is no God." He may not say it with words, but his actions say it. Instead of rejoicing that all people get to start afresh, this fool wants to grab for more at the expense of others. He's a fool because he believes there are limits to our Creator's provision. He doesn't realize that our prayer is for daily bread as we do our Maker's bidding, not for bread that magically sustains us so we can do as we please. One day, the greatest reset will happen when our Creator returns to us the land our first ancestors sold to our adversary. That transaction has already been completed, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. One day soon, this exile of slavery to corruption will be over when our Creator King hits the reset button for all creation. Some call that resurrection. And some call it the new heaven and new earth. Some call it the new Jerusalem. Those are different ways of describing the same thing, when all who call on the name of the Lord are finally saved. Until that blessed day, we would be wise to understand that our existence is cyclical, not progressively linear. What has happened before will happen again. Instead of trying to order the world to our liking and amass enough stuff to insulate ourselves from those things we don't like, maybe we should learn the rhythms of our Creator and give of ourselves as He gave of Himself to us.
Dear love, just when I think you've given